make the top 1,000 fears in the days of David. Now, I point out that fears change to say this. What doesn't change is the biblical way of dealing with fears. No matter what time period you live in, no matter which country you live in, no matter what you experience, whether you are young or old, male or female, whether you are married or single, whether your country is at peace or war, what does not change is the biblical way of dealing with fears. And the psalm we're going to look at this morning, Psalm 27, which I invite you to turn to in your Bibles, we're going to see how David dealt with the feeling of fear. We're going to hear David make great statements of confidence in the face of fear. This Psalm 27 begins with a beautiful statement of confidence, and it ends with a beautiful statement of confidence. And even though he's in various situations that anyone would cause fear, would have fear, he states this confidence. Listen for that as I read. We're on Psalm 27. Because we're going through the Psalms here at First Church, psalm by psalm. I ask you, if you're able, to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God, recognizing this is His holy word to us. Again, listen for David's confidence in the face of fear of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, thank you for this psalm. Psalm in which we hear David speak so confidently of you. Help us to learn from this psalm that we too might deal with any fears we might feel. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. At the beginning of this psalm, David is so confident it sounds like he doesn't feel fear. In verse 1, he asks, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? In verse 3, he says, my heart shall not fear. I will be confident. And that sounds like someone who never experiences fear. But starting in verse 7, it's clear that David did feel fear, even as he spoke confidently in the face of it. In verse 7, he cries aloud for God to be gracious and answer him. And in verses 11 and 12, we learn why he needed an answer. He speaks of enemies, adversaries, false witnesses rising up against him, breathing out violence against him. Those verses leave no doubt that David felt fear. The fear is so unmistakable in those verses, some have wondered about the flow of this psalm. How does David go from saying in verse 3, "My heart shall not fear, I will be confident," to crying out to God because of enemies, adversaries, breathing out violence against him? Some scholars have even tried to rip this one inspired psalm into two different psalms because they conclude that the confident statements at the beginning of the psalm don't match with what we see in verses 7 through 12. But I ask you to realize that the flow of this psalm makes complete sense with life. Those who would rip this psalm in two are not only rejecting the inspiration of the scriptures, they are failing to understand the beauty of this psalm. The different statements we hear in this psalm are normal because confidence is not the lack of feeling fear. David is expressing true life in this psalm, and he's doing so with wisdom. Concerning the reality of fear and confidence, listen to what General Patton once said. "If we take the generally accepted definition of bravery as a quality which knows no fear, I have never seen a brave man. All men are frightened. The more intelligent they are, the more they are frightened. Intelligent men feel fear, because life is in this fallen world is full of danger. Fear is sensible in some situations. If you are afraid to walk down a dark alley by yourself, and you therefore don't, or you therefore take some sort of precautions, well, that's sensible and very well might keep you from being mugged. If a child is afraid of getting in a car with a stranger, are parents going to say to their child, 'Now, come on, you need to be fearless'? No, of course not. The parents are going to be glad for that fear." And many can relate to this meme. Always face your fears, except spiders. Run, flee, stomp, scream, get away from those spiders. We live in a dangerous world. Sensible people will feel fear. David certainly did. He had enemies, adversaries, false witnesses breathing out violence against him. He knew the feeling of fear, but he didn't let the feeling of fear control him, crush him. He responded to the fear with confidence. "My heart shall not fear." Concerning David's confidence in verse 3, the great reformer John Calvin rightly wrote, quote, "But when he," David, "declares, 'My heart shall not fear,' this does not imply that he would be entirely devoid of fear, for that would have been more worthy of the name of insensibility than of virtue." David was sensible. He knew war is a fearful thing. But David also knew how to deal wisely with the fear. This psalm shows us that wisdom. This psalm reveals wisdom that gives confidence in the face of fear. Part of the wisdom is knowing who the Lord is. Knowing who the Lord is. In verse 1, David describes the Lord with three important words: light, salvation, stronghold. David uses the first two words together, light and salvation. He has one reality in mind with those two words, namely that God gives deliverance from evil, salvation from darkness. Look back with me at Psalm 18, another psalm of David that we've already looked at together. David refers to God as his light in verse 28, which I've underlined. "For it is you who light my lamp, the Lord God lightens my darkness." And because of God being a light to him, David goes on to say that he's able to run against a troop, leap over a wall. Or in other words, David is saved. We're seeing light and salvation in those verses. Now look at what David says leading up to the mention of this light and salvation. The verses leading up are about the merciful, the people who are merciful and blameless, about the pure as opposed to the crooked, about the humble as opposed to the haughty. The good against evil is what leads David to say, "You light my lamp." And David goes on to say, "You help me against a troop." In other words, God gives deliverance from evil. God is light and salvation. God gives a righteous victory. David knew that his battles were not merely political. David knew his battles were not merely one nation against another nation or one king against another king. David knew there was a spiritual dimension to his battles and his trials. There was light and there was darkness, good and evil. And God gives salvation from evil. He gives salvation from all the darkness in this world. David goes on to use the word stronghold. When the true God is your God, He is a stronghold for you, defending you from evil. So, even though evil will attack, those protected by God will stand firm. God is a God of light. He is the true God, the righteous God who saves and protects from darkness, from evil. So even though David was facing trials, facing evil, he was confident. He could say, "Whom shall I fear? Or of whom shall I be afraid?" He knew God would lead him, guide him, empower him, protect him. David was confident in God because he knew who God is. He knows what God does. Look at what David says in verse 2. "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall." David knew evildoers will not get away with their evil. Eventually, they will stumble and fall. God's people will be saved. Because God is a light and salvation, a stronghold, God's people will be saved. And dear Christians, in these New Testament days, we can know this truth about the Lord all the more and hence be confident in the face of fear. Now listen to what John chapter 1 says about Jesus. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And in John 8, Jesus says of himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light." Dear friends, there is no evil in this world. No army, no powers, no terrorists that can take away our light, our salvation, our protection. When God is our God, we have salvation from darkness. We have a sure stronghold. The evil ones are the ones who stumble and fall, not God's people. Knowing who the Lord is gives confidence in the face of fear, and that's a right way to deal with fear. A biblical way to deal with fear is to know who the Lord is. Know what He does. Remind yourself of truth about Him. The more you fill your mind and heart with truth about who the Lord is, the more you can face fear with confidence. So we should always want to learn and be reminded of who the Lord is. And let me point out that there are all kinds of opportunities for learning during our new educational year. This very day, our education year begins. Church school started. It's certainly not too late for you to join. It's not too late to start coming to church school. It's not too late to sign up for a Wednesday night live class. The lists are still out there in the social hall. And you can also dig deep. You can dig really deep into many truths that will help you fight your fears by joining the next class of biblical counseling that David Lee leads, which will begin in November. Knowing who the Lord is, it helps us fight our fears. Seeking the Lord does as well, which is the natural response to knowing who the Lord is. When you truly know who the Lord is, you seek Him. And seeking Him alleviates fears. Look at verse 4. David writes, "One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Think about what David is saying in that verse. He's saying that dwelling with Jesus is the one thing he sought above all other things. Dwelling with the Lord is the one thing, out of all other things, he did not want to give up. He sought that. He looked forward to that. He wanted it more than anything else. That's an awesome statement. And I challenge you to ask yourself right now if you can make that same statement. Can you say that of yourself truly? Can you truly say of yourself, the one thing, the one thing I want more than anything else is the Lord to gaze upon His beauty. That's what I want more than anything else. Can you say that of yourself? That's a really important question. Look with me at Luke chapter 18. Starting with verse 18, we read this. And a ruler asked him, a rich young man who was talking to Jesus. A ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. This rich young man, he wanted the Lord, he wanted eternal life. He asked Jesus for eternal life, but he wanted other things more. He wasn't seeking the Lord as the one thing he wanted more than all other things. He was so attached to his wealth, he walked away sad from Jesus, which means his money was his Lord, not Jesus. He's an example of someone who could not say with David, "The one thing that I want is to see the beauty of the Lord in his temple, to gaze upon him, to be with him. That's what I want. I'll give up everything for that." He could not say that. He could not say that. Now, let's say that the rich young man was alive right now today. And let's say he had most of his money invested in the stock market. And let's say he started to hear word that the stock market's going to crash. What if more and more financial gurus are out there saying, "Hey, something's happening, the stock market's going to crash, look out." And he was listening to these gurus. What would that rich young man feel? He would feel fear. Frantic fear, wouldn't he? It would weigh him down. He would not be confident. And if the stock market did crash and he didn't get his money out soon enough and he lost his money, most of his money, he would be crushed by that event. Dear friends, if the one primary thing, the main thing you are seeking after is wealth, well, your confidence is going to be very shallow. You will always be dealing with worries, fears that can crush you. Or here's another example. If the one primary thing you are seeking after is popularity, that's what I really want to be popular with people, to be loved by all people, where you're always going to have the fear of what people think about you, a fear that can crush you if they don't like you. Or if the one primary thing you're seeking after is success, well, then the fear of failure might very well weigh you down. Failure happens in this fallen world. But in comparison, if the one thing you are seeking after is the Lord, well, then you can be confident in the face of all fear. You can be confident when the stock market crashes. You can be confident when people do not like you. You can be confident when you fail and you do not succeed. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 27. "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Are you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. When the Lord is the one thing you are seeking after above all else, and you know who the Lord is, that he's light, that he's salvation, a stronghold, well, then you don't have anything to fear. God is your Father in heaven who will provide. When you seek him, you have all things. To emphasize that, think about this with me. One of the fears people have is the fear of loved ones dying. And we saw that on the Chapman University list, the fear of loved ones dying. The thought of losing parents can especially be frightening to people. Children and teenagers, maybe you've felt that fear, the fear of losing your parents. I certainly felt that fear, even in high school. I can remember feeling that fear, you know, that maybe my parents wouldn't come back home because of a car accident or something like that, or because of an illness, I would lose them. David actually talks about that in this psalm. Listen to what David writes in verse 10 of the psalm. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Now, I don't know what this verse means specifically about David's parents. We have no evidence from the scriptures that his parents were angry at David. So I'm not sure I don't think he was actually talking about his parents literally forsaking him. I think he's using a very graphic example here, an example we can all relate to. Even if my parents forsake me, the Lord will take me in. When we are seeking the Lord, when Jesus is the one thing we want above all other things, when we know he is our Father in heaven, and we love him more than all things, we don't have to let the fear of even losing our parents crush us, because we have God as our Father. He will take us in. He will watch over us. He will protect us. He will guide us. And there's nothing in this world that can take him away from us. Nothing can take our Father in heaven away from us. We don't have anything to fear when we know the Lord, when we know who he is, and we seek after him above all other things. We don't even have to fear those who would take our lives. Now listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Your Father in heaven loves you, cares for you. Will we feel fear? If someone is trying to kill us, somebody was chasing us with an axe, would we feel fear? Yes, we would. Or if war breaks out, or if terrorists attack, we would feel fear sensibly. Yes, we would feel fear. But when the one thing we are seeking is the Lord, that feeling of fear will not overwhelm us. The feeling will not crush us. We can be confident in the face of the fear. When we are seeking the Lord above all else, we can say with David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nothing can take the Lord Jesus from us. He is our treasure that thieves and armies cannot get at. Knowing who the Lord is gives confidence in the face of fear. Seeking the Lord above all else gives confidence in the face of fear. And so does waiting for the Lord with prayer. Waiting for the Lord with prayer. That's what we see at the end of this great psalm. Starting in verse 7, David prays. He cries out to God, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, I do seek. David prayed that because the feeling of fear was there. We cannot help but at times feel fear in this dangerous world. And what we need to do when those feelings come is pray to our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to cry out to the one we know, to the one we seek above all other things. We need to pray to him knowing he hears and answers. And while crying out to him, we need to wait for him. We need to wait for him. That's what David tells us to do in the last verse, verse 14. Look at that verse with me. David writes, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." That's another confident verse. David could write that confident verse because he had waited for the Lord many times in his life. And he knew the Lord was faithful. He knew the Lord would not fail. It's an important part of confidence in the face of fear. Because the wait can be long. Sometimes the wait is long. Think of David out in the caves when King Saul was trying to wrongly kill him. And David had to hide night after night in caves. That was a long wait. I'm sure David often felt fear during that time when Saul was trying to kill him, frustration at the amount of time. But he waited on the Lord. And the Lord did not fail him. And the Lord will not fail you. As you wait for him with knowledge of who he is, as you wait for him with seeking him above all other things, he will not fail you. One practice that can help us wait for the Lord is to recite verses like Psalm 27. Use the words of the psalm as our own words. That can help us. And in response to this great psalm, I invite you to do that with me. I invite you to say with me today the words of verse 1. Before we do that, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. You guys can come forward at this time. And as they're coming forward, let me just say again, with knowledge of who the Lord is, with knowledge of who he is, with a heart that seeks him above all else, with a willingness to wait for him, let's recite verse 1 of Psalm 27. Let's recite it. Thinking of all the fears we have felt lately, maybe even the fears you felt as you were coming here this morning. Maybe there's a fear you've been feeling. Let's think about those fears we felt and let's recite this verse with knowledge of who God is, seeking him, waiting upon him. Join me, people of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let's sing together. My God is my strong salvation.